Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, June 30th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemire.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The World Food Program says there is a dramatic improvement in the food situation in Zimbabwe this year compared to the same period last year when 2.2 million were facing hunger.
The food security situation in Zimbabwe, I must say, has improved. I would even say has dramatically improved since last year compared to the situation a year ago.
A breakaway faction within the MDCT calling itself the Renewal Team insists that Morgan Tsvangirai has been expelled from the party despite a High Court interdict stopping the action.
Mr. Tsvangirai has been expelled, and Love Momoyo have been expelled from the MDC. They were expelled on Friday when they didn't turn up for the tribunal hearing when they had been informed all along.
And four Bulawayo Agenda officials arrested for contravening some provisions of the country's tough security laws have been released amid growing concern over the continued use of the dreaded Public Order and Security Act.
The law, as we speak, the Public Order and Security Act is an act that is still there. And there is a lot that still, of course, needs to be done in terms of aligning the laws to the new constitution.
World Food Program Country Director Sori Wan says there is a dramatic improvement in the food situation in the country compared to the same period last year when 2.2 million people were facing hunger. Wan, who has been in the country for a year now, says WFP managed to reach 1 million people who were considered highly food insecure. He says they've received reports that following a good rain season, the harvest is much better this year and there will certainly be less people affected by hunger. A detailed report on the food situation from a research carried out by the government and WFP is expected to be released sometime this week. Studio 7 speaks to Wani on the food situation in Zimbabwe.
The food security situation in Zimbabwe, I must has improved. I would even say has dramatically improved since last year compared to the situation a year ago, because as you rightly mentioned, I arrived in the country a year ago, and the beginning in Zimbabwe was rather hectic with very bad food security situation.
What programs is WFP carrying out now?
Basically, what we want is to get away from free food distribution to people, to food insecure people, because we are of the view that this is not going to help them, you know, to sort of bounce back from poverty and food insecurity. Instead, we want to place more emphasis on resilience building and asset creation. We want people to come together to work on the creation of productive assets that make them less vulnerable to future shocks. So that's what we have in the country. The second pillar, important pillar of our program is on nutrition. We have some people who are malnourished and also those affected by HIV and tuberculosis receiving food assistance to improve their nutritional status. So these two pillars, asset creation and nutrition interventions, are the strategic shift WFP wants to make in the country.
What is the biggest challenge you are currently facing?
Well, the biggest challenge is funding. Funding is very important, and I usually tell my colleagues that we have a vision in Zimbabwe, a good vision to assist the people, you know, and lift them out of poverty. But if we don't have funding, you know, to translate this vision into reality, it becomes a hallucination. So funding is the biggest challenge that we have in the country.
That was World Food Program Country Director Sori Wan in Harare with Studio 7.
A faction within the MDCT calling itself the Renewal Team insists that Morgan Tsvangirai has been expelled from the party despite a High Court interdict stopping the action. Judge Justice Hepias Zhou blocked the expulsion that was made by a tribunal despite the ruling that nullified a meeting earlier this year that laid down several allegations against Tsvangirai, including violence and for not following the party constitution. The legal counsel for the Renewal Team, led by Law Professor Love Momadugu, insists that the interdict is of no consequence because the papers containing the interdict were not served to the tribunal, but to Tendai Biti and others. But MDCT spokesman Douglas Mwonzora, also a lawyer representing the party, told Studio 7 the Renewal Team is in contempt because the interdict states that the meeting held at Mandel Training Center was ruled illegal and cannot therefore try Tsvangirai.
What that means is that all the resolutions of Mandel, the meeting that was held by Tendai Biti and Mangoma, were null and void and they were suspended. What that effectively means is that President Tsvangirai was not supposed to appear before the disciplinary committee set by these people, and he was not supposed to answer anything because Justice Joe saw that the legality and the validity of this meeting at Mandel was questionable. Now we hear that they went ahead as the so-called renewal team and passed the judgment. Now, what we see at the MDC is that this is a bunch of lawless lawyers who don't respect the law, who don't respect the constitution. They do not respect the constitution of the MDC. They have not respected the judgments of the High Court. It's their pathological behavior.
But they are saying that the papers that had that interdict order were not served to the tribunal, but were served to other individuals like Mr. Biti. What's your take on that?
Mr. Biti is the one who wrote the letter inviting President Tsvangirai to a disciplinary hearing. Therefore, Mr. Biti is part of the tribunal.
That was MDCT spokesman Douglas Mwonzora speaking to Studio 7 on the line from Harare. We also reached a spokesman of the MDCT renewal team, Jacob Mafume, who's also a lawyer. He says Morgan Tsvangirai and Chairman Love Momoyo remain expelled from the party because the tribunal found them guilty of several crimes.
By the High Court, there was an application, I'm made to understand, by Mr. Mwonzora to try and delay the hearing by the tribunal. But that application was directed to the tribunal. It was directed to four individuals, Tendai Biti, Stephen Komo, Holland, and Elton Mangoma. And those four were not conducting the tribunal. The tribunal is an independent body, and the tribunal was not served. It was not asked to come to the court, nor was it asked to stop the proceedings. And then the judgment that came out has not been served on the tribunal, nor did it include the tribunal, nor did it interdict the MDC from doing anything.
So in the meantime, it therefore means that Mr. Tsvangirai has been expelled from the MDC?
Yes, Mr. Tsvangirai has been expelled, and Love Momoyo have been expelled from the MDC. They were expelled on Friday when they didn't turn up for the tribunal hearing, when they had been informed all along that the tribunal hearing was going to be held.
That was Jacob Mafume, the spokesman of the MDCT renewal team, speaking on the line from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Four Bulawayo agenda officials arrested on Saturday for contravening some provisions of the country's tough security laws have been released amid a growing outcry from human rights groups about the continued use of the Public Order and Security Act, which they say violates the new constitution. Victoria Falls Police arrested Meli Duwe, Wutolezwe Nyati, Ntombi Yezansi Tozana and Tulani Moyo for having held a meeting without police clearance. Dube, Nyati and Tozana, who are all Bulawayo-based, were ordered to pay bail amounting to $100 and Victoria Falls-based Moyo paid $50 bail. The Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights condemned the arrest, saying it is, quote, concerned by the police obsession to continue curtailing citizens' fundamental rights by abusing and using some provisions of POSA of court. Crisis in Zimbabwe Coalition echoed similar statements, saying the arrest violates Section 58 of the Constitution, which guarantees freedom of assembly and association. The U.S.-based RFK Partners for Human Rights also raised serious concern over the arrests. Lawyer Lizwe Jamela of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu the four were ironically arrested while teaching people about their rights.
The police are alleging that they held a public meeting without notifying the regulating authority in terms of the public order and security act.
Is this still a requirement under the new constitutional dispensation?
The law, as we speak, the public order and security act is an act that is still there. And there is a lot that still, of course, needs to be done in terms of aligning the laws to the new constitution. Because the act has some serious implications in terms of curtailing freedom of association and the freedom of movement in terms of public gatherings and people meeting. In terms of whether the provision that they are being charged under can pass the constitutionality test, is something that maybe may actually need to be done and see how courts are going to interpret the provision vis-a-vis the new provisions of the new constitution.
Are you likely to use this as a test case to take it all the way to the constitutional court?
At the moment, the matter is still in its infancy, considering that we are talking about people who were arrested on Saturday. So as Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights, what was very, very important to us is to offer what we call emergency legal services to make sure that at least this fraud at least get out of custody.
That was lawyer Lizwe Jamela of the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Bulawayo.
The National Statistics Office says at least 15 women are raped every day in Zimbabwe, with the majority of cases involving young girls. Gender activists say the figure is a cause for serious concern. Similar statistics from the Zimbabwe Republic Police indicate that nearly 1,500 juveniles were victims of sexual violence in the first quarter of this year. Vice President Joyce Mujuru recently declared war against rapists while officially launching a campaign against rape in Zimbabwe. Gender activists have called for government to use the new constitution to tackle high cases of rape in the country. The figure comes as the Chimanimani community is shocked by the mysterious disappearance of three young girls who were allegedly involved in a sexual abuse case. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo speaks to Tege Life International Director Nyari Mashamombe, who says the high rape figures indicate that there is need for comprehensive intervention.
But the bottom line is to educate our children to be able to detect rape. We need to up and scale up our community intervention, community education, educating the girls, educating communities, educating the girls so that they personally can protect themselves.
Speaking about the issue of the law and, of course, the police, what's your view on that issue as we look at some cases as the three Chimanimani girls who have been missing? Has the law done enough to require ensure that young girls and or women are kept safe when it comes to these issues of sexual violence?
I would say I think what is required in the country is to up education, awareness, even to police. For a long time, Zimbabwe had been treating issues of rape with the seriousness they require, to the extent that I think most police people are not serious about abuse. I'll quote for you a case last week, which a survivor went to the police and they reported a case of abuse of their child. And the policeman who was attending that case told the mother to go and bring the perpetrator. It shows apathy.
That was Tege Life International Director Nyari Mashayamombe speaking with Studio 7.
Following an outcry by parents, educationists, activists and politicians over the deployment of non-Ndebele-speaking teachers in Matabeleland, the Deputy Minister of Primary and Secondary Education, Professor Paul Mavima, has told the state media that he will lead a team to assess the situation on the ground, beginning with Matabeleland South this week. The situation has been blamed for the low pass rate in the region. Some schools in Matabeleland South are reportedly teaching the Shona language instead of Ndebele, as they have no single Ndebele speaker. The schools include Mtwakazi, Mpalawani, Gwamanyanga, Mpopoti, and Shabaja primary schools. NCISA North legislator Andrew Langa confirmed this development to the state media, but added that both Shona and Ndebele were taught in these schools as they are near Mberengwa district, where Shona is widely spoken. For perspective on this issue, reporter Standikile Mhlanga reached the political commentator Rejoice Ngwenya.
The issue has been talked about for the past 25 to 30 years, and it has always been mentioned consistently that there are people that don't speak the language who are in government offices, who are in police stations, who are at hospitals, who are at school. It's also something that which drove the constitutional provisions of ensuring that all languages are recognized. It's just a reinvention of the wheel to give ZANU-PF a new lease of life. The move is good.
Government is saying it will tackle the problem from the roots, like building more colleges for teacher training in those areas.
I don't think really it is necessary to start building more colleges with a government that is already broke and there's no resources. So like they did with the MET intakes in Matabeleland, structure the intakes of teacher trainers in such a way that you give a very visible and covert balance system when teachers are graduating or nurses are graduating or policemen are graduating. There is enough stock to be able to sustain the demand in the different parts of the country. It's a national issue that requires a more strategic approach.
That was independent political analyst Rejoice Ngwenya on the line with Studio 7 from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 919 medium wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15455 shortwave frequencies.
Coming up,
people in Manicaland walk long distances in search of firewood following years of indiscriminate cutting down of trees. Stay tuned.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
A court-ordered mental health report concludes South African track star Oscar Pistorius was not suffering from mental illness at the time he shot and killed his model girlfriend last year.
South Sudan rebels say a high-ranking member of the South Sudan leadership is joining the opposition.
A suspected Islamist militants have killed at least 50 people in northeastern Nigeria.
And Iraqi warplanes carried out airstrikes overnight on the northern city of Tikrit as they battled to regain control from Sunni militants who have declared the formation of an Islamic State across areas of Iraq and Syria.
Tensions between MDCT Organizing Secretary Nelson Chamisa and the party's so-called MDCT Veterans Activists Association escalated today, with the veterans vowing to block Mr. Chamisa's election to the post of Secretary General at the October Congress and support Douglas Mwanzora. Chamisa set off the spurt in Ulawayo on Saturday when he said he does not recognize the Veterans Association, prompting members to call a meeting yesterday where a resolution to beg Mwanzora for the powerful post ahead of Chamisa was passed. The MDCT Veterans Association chairman Victor Zunza accused Chamisa of being arrogant and disrespectful. He tells Ntungamili Nkomo they will pull out all the stops to block Chamisa's accession to the post of Secretary General.
We indeed passed a resolution that come this election, the Congress to come, Chamisa won't be surprised to find himself becoming a card-holding member of the MDC party. We all agreed, the provincial of Matabele and MDC VAR, that our candidate come Congress is going to be Douglas Monzora, not this young boy. It is high time that Chamisa must learn to respect the blood that was shed in MDC, to respect the victims that are in MDC, people who are sleeping in the open as of when we formed the party up to today, after their houses were burnt to ashes, after they lost their education, employment and businesses, some raped, some tortured, and up to today, I wonder if Chamisa is a Democrat because he does not understand as to why these veterans are uniting. We are uniting as victims, not just as veterans, but as victims to look after each other. Therefore, Chamisa, I don't know why he's clashing with us.
That was MDCT Veterans Activist Association Chairman Victor Zunza. Reached for comment, Chamisa doubled down on his statement, saying the MDCT Veterans Activists Association is not a constitutional body.
First of all, Mr. Chamisa has not indicated that he wants to be Secretary General. It's not about Chamisa's wishes. It's about the wishes of the party structures and the party membership. At no point have I indicated that I'm willing to be in any position. I'm not driven by a position. I'm driven by a proposition. A proposition for a better life. A proposition for an alternative way of doing things. A proposition for alternative politics. That's what I believe in. Not in position. We have never, ever been in this struggle for purposes of position. In any case, which is a case I want to explain, those people who are calling themselves whatever association, first of all, it's not a constitutional position. We don't have any association. We cannot have an organization within an organization. So the issue of association does not arise. The second point is that we have not yet completed our struggle. So you can't talk about being a veteran of a struggle that is still midway, that is not run full circle. We want to make sure that we complete the struggle. That's when we are then going to be talking about veterans, once we have completed the project. The project is still underway. So for anybody to say that they are a veteran is a misnomer and misbegotten to a great extent.
MDCT Organizing Secretary Nelson Chamisa in Harare, party spokesman Douglas Monzora said while he is willing to serve in any post the party deploys him to, he will not contest against Chamisa for any position.
Villagers of Chigodora in Mutare South walk long distances in search of firewood following years of indiscriminate cutting down of trees. In some cases, firewood is no longer accessible at all due to the depletion of forests in Manicaland province. Our correspondent Lloyd Hamoyo reports from the provincial capital.
Local people complain that they are walking distances of up to 15 kilometers to fetch firewood for heating and cooking, among other domestic chores. This is the only source of domestic energy in a community living in an area that has been reduced to dust bowels due to the indiscriminate cutting down of trees. The only trees available in the area are mango trees found in almost every homestead, but they are not good sources of domestic energy. A local woman, Juliet Zindoga, says they are facing serious problems in fetching firewood, with most of them waking up early in the morning and walking long distances to look for firewood.
The issue of firewood is stressful for the locals here. We leave home as a group and go far to get firewood, and normally we return well in the afternoon. Forests are very far away, and there's another risk of abuse in the forests where we go.
Zindoga says they risk being arrested by officials of the Environmental Management Agency, or EMA, as they do not have proper papers for fetching firewood. Another local resident, 15-year-old Catherine Msiwa, says it is a big challenge for girls of her age to travel long distances with a huge load on their head.
We have challenge for wood source that we used to get very close by. At the moment, we have to travel very long distances to collect firewood, as all the trees that were near us were cut down. We are very, very sad.
Another local person, Andrew Saburi, says all surrounding forests have been cleared owing to increased load shedding as locals look for alternative power sources.
As trees are now scarce around here, we are now used to seeing our women going far in search of firewood. Power cuts are now the order of the day, and as an alternative, they have to travel long distances. They risk being attacked by wild animals.
Manikalani Provincial Manager for Environment Africa, Lawrence Nyagwande, says his organization is operating in two districts, Chimanimani and Mutasa, which are the most affected by deforestation.
That means training of people in managing the forests that are in their areas. And at the same time, not training, but also assisting them with startup materials in trying to establish woodlots.
Chris Mushowe, the Manicaland Provincial Minister, says he's saddened that the country is losing vast areas of forests with citizens failing to replace them. Speaking at a recent exercise to redress deforestation in the affected areas, Mushowe said it was key to involve all local people.
And forest-based enterprise development is welcome as it supports our economic blueprint of Zim Asset. We want to see all partners involved in this project working together.
The current program to reclaim forests is being funded by the European Union and the Food and Agriculture Organization, or FAO, in collaboration with the Forestry Commission and the Ministry of Environment, Water and Climate. The districts that are involved include Chimanimani and Mutasa, Manicaland, Weza and Mutoko, Mashonaland East, Lopane and Wange, Matabeleland North, then Bulilima and Matobo in Matabeleland South. Reporting for Studio 7 in Chigodora, this is Loida Moyo.
Studio 7 Live Talk is launching a women's roundtable starting Wednesday, July 15, 2014. The show will address issues of concern to us women. Tell us what you want to hear via email at studio7@voanews.com. Again, studio7@voanews.com or WhatsApp 1-202-465-0318. Again, 1-202-465-0318. And of course, on our Facebook page, Studio 7.
And in our sports segment, in World Cup action today, African soccer fans are now keeping a close eye on the match to be played by Algeria after Nigeria crashed out of the tournament following a 2-0 drubbing by France. Algeria will play Germany later on today. Four teams have already advanced to the quarterfinals, namely Brazil, Colombia, Netherlands, and Costa Rica. VOA sports analyst Nico Pinault spoke to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye earlier on.
Well, any specialist will say that obviously Germany is the favorite for this game. They won several World Cups, and Algeria, they are not at the same level. But it's the World Cup. We have seen many surprises in this tournament. So I think, first of all, Algerians, they need to be a little bit crazy. They need to play, you know, they need to go in advance, try to score at least one goal. But I think the defense will be the major concern for the Algerians, because we saw against Russia or even against Belgium that that may be the weak link in these teams. So against striker like Müller, they won't be a second chance. So I think Germany, obviously, you know, everybody expect them to advance, but hey, it's the World Cup, and you know, anybody could hope for a miracle. So we'll see.
That was sports analyst Nico Pinault speaking to Studio 7's Marvelous Mhlanganyawuye from Rio de Janeiro in Brazil.
Now to recap today's top stories.
The World Food Programme says there is a dramatic improvement in the food situation in Zimbabwe this year compared to the same period last year when 2.2 million people were facing hunger.
A faction within the MDCT calling itself the Renewal Team insists that Morgan Tsvangirai has been expelled from the party despite a High Court interdict stopping the action.
And four Bulawayo Agenda officials arrested for contravening some provisions of the country's tough security laws have been released amid growing concern over the continued use of the dreaded public order.